Greg Ward, CEO of the Greg Ward Group, and he has a book, a new book called The Respectful Leader, 7 Ways to Influence Without Intimidation. Greg, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. You have been, I want to get some resume stuff out here first. So you've been doing some executive coaching for Qualcomm, Kraft, Harley Davidson, ADP, Booz Allen, Warner Brothers, right? That is an amazing resume. It's awesome.
Thank you.
But I got to go back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. How did you start off in the 80s working for the New York Police Department?
Well, I'm actually going to take you to my misspent youth. I was a bit of a troublemaker when I was growing up and had sometimes, perhaps you did too, I don't know, a few run-ins with our friends in the police department. And this is back on Long Island outside of New York. And so I wasn't particularly respectful of them. And you know what? They weren't particularly respectful of me.
Yep.
And then about 10 years later, I got an offer from the New York City Police Department. I was living in New York City at the time, to come and help them develop a training program on how to handle what they call EDPs, emotionally disturbed persons, in the public space. And I was working in the professional theater at the time, and they said, we want you to hire actors to start to play these different kind of people, schizophrenic, people on drugs, that kind of stuff. It was really fascinating work. So then I started working with cops, and I suddenly realized that being a cop is a very difficult job. And people are disrespecting you all the time. And it's hard not to be disrespectful back. So as you and I know, there's tons of stress going on in our world right now between police and the community and all that kind of stuff. And I started to realize as I was training cops, they're human beings too. And they need to be treated with respect. And what I learned is we all need to be treated with respect. And it'll be okay if we at least make that first effort. Try to treat each other with a little bit of respect.
So this is back in the 80s. So this was the beginnings of this book.
Yes.
Which is coming out now.
Yes.
So is that, what's your main, and we'll get to the book, but what's your main focus when you talk, when you do this executive coaching with some of the top CEOs in the world? Like what, how do you go at them?
Well, you probably have heard of, there's an old management style called command and control. I don't know if you've ever heard of that style. Well, if you were in the military, it's very, very common in the military or in the police department. And command and control basically says, do as I say, because I'm your boss. And you know, in many respects, that works just fine, especially when you're in the military or in the police department where lives are at stake. You know, people need help immediately. We don't have time to stand around and have a discussion around what are we going to do. But in the civilian world, in the workplace, in the normal everyday workplace, when you've got a boss who's constantly commanding you to do stuff, a lot of the research tells us that most of us, something like 90% of us, don't like to be commanded and controlled. We feel it's disrespectful. So I have found that in today's highly stressed workplace, we've got a lot of leaders who are just barking out orders and just, you know, commanding and controlling. And what they're finding is it's not working. People are not liking it.
So obviously that's not good for the employee if you say they don't like it. But then in turn, that's not going to be good for the CEO either, because you're probably only going to get 10% of a person's potential.
Absolutely. You know, I'm assuming you're a good person. I'm assuming the people who work with
you. Don't talk to those two guys. Okay. Continue your thought. Sure.
I'm assuming, you know, there's a lot of good people who work here. But if you're constantly barking at them, after a while, they're just going to, they'll do as you ask. Mm. But eventually they're going to maybe not work as hard. They're not going to be as enthusiastic about it. And sooner or later, they might even say, you know what, I don't want to work for him anymore and go work for somebody else. Yeah.
So can you give us an example? Because the book, again, The Respectful Leader, but then at the end you used to call it a business fable. So it's full of stories.
Yes, it's actually one story set in a fictional company here in San Diego with a brand new CEO, right around your age, Mike. And he's kind of landed into this spot with this company. And he suddenly begins to realize that the behavior on the part of his leadership team is really quite disrespectful. And he kind of, you know, disrespect is contagious. He kind of plays along with it. He becomes disrespectful too. Everybody's under stress. His boss, who's the head of this big conglomerate, is telling him, you got to turn this place around. I don't care. You got to tell people what to do and kick them in the butt and all that kind of stuff. Well, it goes horribly, horribly wrong for him when he tries to be so disrespectful to everybody. Fortunately, he's got a little old lady. She calls herself a little old lady who works in the maintenance department, and she will brook no disrespect from him. And she just says, listen, I don't care if you're the CEO, you will not disrespect me. And he's like, what? Yeah. He doesn't know how to deal with her. Eventually, he comes to learn that if you treat people with respect, no matter what level they are, no matter who they are, no matter whether they're the CEO or the maintenance worker, you treat somebody with respect, you're 9 times out of 10 going to get respect in return. And that's what he learns, and he eventually becomes the respectful leader through some pretty heavy-duty trials and tribulations.
Based on true events?
Let's just say I've been doing this work for 25 years with many different corporations all over the country and in Europe, and it's kind of a conglomeration of all the different folks that I've worked
Absolutely.
With. It's pretty common.
When That's you mentioned the maintenance worker, a story just hit me, and I wish I remembered who the CEO was. I forget. But he went to business school and killed it. He was doing fantastic, mm-hmm. just dominating everything. Mm-hmm. And then the final, after he crammed and whatever, the final was one piece of paper, blank sheet of paper. And the question was, what's the name of the janitor lady who picks up the trash every night?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know it.
He didn't know.
And he failed.
He didn't know.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you heard that story before?
Yeah.
I forget who it is.
I don't know who it is, but I can tell you that what business schools are finally realizing is that it's all well and good to teach you the marketing and the business strategies and all that great, really intellectual stuff. But at the end of the day, if you don't raise what's called your emotional intelligence, your ability to connect with other people and listen to them and hear them and value them for what they bring to the table, that's as important, if not more important, than all the strategy and all the business acumen you might have.
Managing personalities, is that a way to put
That's totally it?
Gosh, you put a team of 10 people together and everyone's got different passions, insights, giftings, skill sets.
A lot of negatives. Smart people. Yeah.
They all need it to, they get motivated different ways.
Yes. Yes,
how do you manage? Like that's mind-bogglingly difficult.
Google just came out with a huge study. And what they were looking at over quite a few years, they said, what is it about certain teams that seem to be so successful?
Okay.
And what they found is it's not about whether the team is homogeneous, where there's tons of the same kind of people, same kind of experience, same kind of training and skills on the same team. It wasn't that at all, nor was it all about complete diversity where everybody's different, has different mm-hmm. perspectives. It was the fact that they respected each other enough to listen to what each member of the team had to say. And they studied the team over a period of quite a long time. What they found was the best, most successful teams, most people on that team spoke just about the same amount of time in meetings, almost exactly the same amount of times. Hmm. Isn't that interesting? But they listened to each other. They took risks with each other. They go ahead and said what was on their mind in a respectful way, and they also considered other people's perspectives and possibilities.
So perfect. We're talking with Greg Ward here. The book is called The Respectful Leader. Perfect parallel to today. We talk about all the time that we have this, I call it this cult of diversity, where mm-hmm. all we do is we focus on how we're different.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about how diversity is our strength, and there's truth to that, but we mm-hmm. take it to this whole extreme where now there's no unity. We don't even know what we have in common. We don't even have a common purpose.
Right.
Therefore.
And the respectful leader will take that diverse team, because there's definite proof that diversity is a good thing
Absolutely.
For business decisions. But the respectful leader will say, okay, here's a baseline of behavior that we all have to sign up
yes.
for. And if we treat each other a certain way with respect, sure, we can get mad at each other about policy, about issues, about ideas and concepts, but let's not personally attack each other. There's no point to that. It doesn't work. It actually makes things worse. But if we can all agree on a certain standard of togetherness, it doesn't matter how diverse the team is.
Yeah.
It'll all work out. And of course, you have to have a purpose. Why are we here? What are we driving towards?
That and I think our country used to have that. And just to go back to our last hour about Plato and the Republic, he said, we're so diverse, we're mutually uncomprehending.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're on different planets.
We are. It's amazing. And you listen to the candidates and you think, well, where is that coming from? And we have so positioned ourselves to sit in one camp or another.
Yeah.
My dad was a journalist, and he, a long time ago, outside of New York, and he said to me, you know, sure, did the politicians go at each other? They
yes.
did.
And as they should, right? They should, but
the personal attacks, they would never, ever say the kinds of things that have been said on the campaign trail this year. It takes my breath away.
All right, so now are you, someone maybe listening now and say, oh, Slater, great, you're interviewing this hippy dippy guy who says we all got to peace, love each other. How do you reconcile that?
You know, I'm your classic moderate. I got a foot in both camps. And quite frankly, I just don't think, you know, people rail against political correctness, for example. You hear that all the time. I don't think it's being politically correct to treat you nicely.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing. Yeah. When did it ever become a bad thing to be respectful of your feelings? Why is that a problem? And people say, well, you really need to be direct. Well, yes, you can be direct, yeah. and you can tell your truth in a direct way, but that doesn't mean you have to add in that the other person's a horrible human being when you're adding in your perspective. You can do that in a respectful way. What's so hippie-ish about that?
Yeah.
It's not. It's just called being a decent human being, and that's all I'm asking.
I want to take a break. I want to get into some of the stuff with the book. I'm sorry, we just did a bunch of background stuff there. But I witnessed this on Thursday. We went up to the Trump rally in Orange County,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of anti-Trump protesters there, and we were in the middle of them. And they all turned around. 30 of them turned around and just pointed in my face. Racist, racist, uh-huh. racist.
Right.
For like a minute.
Right.
And the girl in front of me. So the one guy had anger in his eyes. One guy was laughing. But the girl in front of me, I could see in her eyes, she knew that that was unproductive.
Right.
She knew that was wrong.
Right.
She got caught up in it.
Right.
And I just thought, man, if that girl and I and two of her buddies could go grab some coffee right now,
yeah,
we could totally have a conversation.
We could. And
I'd understand where she's coming from, her background, all that stuff. And it would be so much more productive than obviously this experience.
Right. And I would argue that the people in the Trump rallies who are screaming at the protesters and calling them the words that you and I can't say on the radio, they're probably good people too. They're good, decent people too, but they get caught up in this group mentality. And you know, our candidates are not helping. They're saying things that kind of rile people up. And you know, it's mob mentality. You mentioned the Sinclair Lewis book. There's also 1984, that book, but George Orwell, and you know, where truth is not true, but false is. I mean, it's.
But okay, now people will say, though, like, we need to be strong. We need to be forceful. Things are broken. It's been long enough. We've been nice for too long, Greg. And I mean this in a political world, but also culturally and in the business world. We've been nice for too long. Look where it got us.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I agree we've been nice for too long. I think we've been pretty nasty for a long time, actually, going all the way back to... I would say around Richard Nixon's time is when things kind of got pretty hairy. I mean, ever since that impeachment, I think the parties certainly started to get more and more divisive against each other. So I think we've been on a long, slippery slope of anger and frustration and polarization.
How interesting. That's almost always the case. We mischaracterize the problem.
Yeah.
And then do more of the problem, thinking it's the solution.
Yeah,
there it
do.
Is.
And of course, there's so many different perspectives out there. I mean, and so many entrenched interests, and everybody wants to push their own perspective, and it's tough.
Greg Ward, been working with companies for decades now, top companies in the world. The book's called The Respectful Leader. Can you stick around? We'll get some specifics in the business world, and we'll get more specific
today. Thank you
very much. 1-800-760-KFMB, Mike Slater Show. Spread the word. Is talking with Greg Ward, author of The Respectful Leader, 7 Ways to Influence Without Intimidation. We're just talking during the break, and Greg's done executive coaching for everyone. What's one client you had that was particularly challenging or exciting that you worked with?
Well, I can tell you about the most recent one that was really, really challenging. A CEO of a very large corporation, and he was under enormous amount of pressure. There was a lot of issues, a lot of challenges, a lot of change going on in the organization. The market is so much tougher for him. And he got let it get to him.
Emotionally.
Well, yeah,
emotionally. Everywhere?
Well, he couldn't get his shift together. You know, shift happens to a lot of people. I call it the emotional shift. You know, if you're a boss, if you're a leader, you've got people bringing stuff to you all the time.
Yeah.
And it's usually problems. And you're going to react to those problems with all sorts of emotional reactions. Some are going to really anger you. Some are going to make you annoyed, and you got it. And if you take that out on your people, they are, first of all, they're going to start pulling away from you, and they're not going to bring you problems. And that's the worst thing that can happen.
Because they're just going to fester, right?
Yep. And they're also going to yes you to death.
Mm.
That could be a huge problem. And he also was finding that he had revolving door staff. No one wanted to work with him anymore. You know, here he's this very important person paid a lot of money, and nobody wanted to work with him.
How much money, ballpark?
Well, his annual salary is around $25 million bucks.
That's crazy.
Chump change.
Exactly. Okay.
And then, of course, there's other stuff involved. But and fortunately, I was introduced to him by a colleague. And we just went out for coffee and we started talking. And I find this a lot. If they're just looking for an ear, somebody to just, because they're often stuck and they're often frustrated. And it's not that he's a bad guy. And he's not a bad guy. He's a really wonderful person. But he just would lash out. It just constantly. So finally I said, well, you know, how's that working for you?
Yeah.
And he goes, it's working really bad and it's affecting my home life and everyone's in trouble. So I said, well, look, maybe we can start small and just do some simple things that will turn things around for you. So the first thing he did, I had him do, I said, I want you to smile at every single person in your workplace. You walk down the hall, you even see a stranger, just smile. I don't care yep. who they are, just smile, even say hello. And he said, well, I'm busy, man. I said, I get it. I get you're busy, but just keep going. Just try it.
Yep.
So we tried
that. How funny that there was pushback to that, too. I love that. Yeah. Like, that's how deceived he was. It's like, I have no time to smile.
I have no time to smile. Yeah. I kind of want to go, you're kidding me, right? So eventually he started taking on what I call the respectful dues. There are 7 of them. And the first is be the first to respect. It doesn't matter who you are. Just smile. Yeah. Say hello. You did it with me when I walked in here. You said hello. And you called me Mr. Ward, which was so respectful of you. And I really appreciate it. So when you treat as a leader, when you treat people that respectfully, and this is what he started to do, he started treating people respectfully. He stopped cutting them off in middle of sentence. He started listening to people. He started paraphrasing back what he was hearing. He said, please and thank you. And within about 6 months, he had begun to start practicing all of the 7 respectful do's. And he turned it around. He said, I've seen him recently. He said, life is great. Things are going, you know, we're still challenged at the company, sure. but I don't fly off the handle anymore. People want to be there with me. They're being honest and open with me. And I feel like I'm getting more out of my staff than I ever have before.
So I'm thinking of this guy who, whatever company it is, the industry is, he's probably brilliant, right? So he knows his stuff.
He's a very smart guy.
He knows his
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
He knows all the ins and outs yeah. of the business and of the yeah. market and everything. Yeah. But the thing that's getting him so he can't do any of that. It can't be effective is just smiling and, just
yeah.
be, and all those these 7 things, which yeah. are all simple to do.
They're really
How
simple.
How frustrating if that's the thing that's holding you back.
You learned these things when you were a child. Your parents said you need to be respectful of people. Yeah. It's called common courtesy. We learned this stuff, but somehow, I think it's partly due to we have all this technology. You know, we're just all so buried in our devices. So that's a big problem. You and I are no longer communicating face-to-face like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
We're doing it by text and email, and all sorts of things are flying back and forth. So we're not having that human interaction.
Yeah.
And my son's a millennial. And he's very used to, he would prefer to communicate with me by texting or email. He doesn't want to talk to me on the phone.
Yep.
So, and I think there are a lot of people who have children like that. And so we've gotten to this point where our devices are causing us to be separate from each other. And that's a problem.
Oh, that's definitely
yeah.
true.
And we're distracted all the time.
Oh, without a doubt. And disconnected. And there's nothing ruder than when you're talking to someone and they pick up the phone and...
Totally.
I mean, it's, and
totally.
It happens 10 times a day.
All the time. You sit there with a leader of your company who called the meeting, and then he or she is sitting there on their phone while everybody else is trying to have a meeting.
Yeah, that happens nonstop.
It's
and just
so
the disrespectful. It's a morale killer.
Oh, totally.
I got a minute. All this easier said than done.
Yes.
How about if, because there's people listening right now, let's say they're an employee.
Yes.
My boss treats me horribly without any respect. How am I supposed to do with the biblical principle of treating him with respect?
Right.
How do I do that?
It's hard. It's very hard. All you can do, there's a very simple technique, although some employees just say, I can't do that. I can't talk to my boss. You basically say, hey, boss, do you remember the other day when this happened? And you be very specific. You talk about the situation, then the behavior that occurred, and the impact on you as an employee. Just say, hey, boss, the other day something happened, and you yelled at me, or you cursed at me, or you said something that was really kind of in my face, and it really it made me step back. It made me fearful of wanting to engage with you. And I'm just trying to be honest with you. And you can use words like, I respect you, boss, and I value our relationship. Mm-hmm. It's just really hard for me to do my best when you treat me that way. Now, hopefully your boss is an sociopath and will hear that and probably apologize, which is a really good thing. And then perhaps get set up towards a better relationship.
At least think twice next time.
Yeah.
And again, that sounds silly, but if you want to make your life easier, you got to do it. And we know it works. We know
it does
everyone
work.
Listening on knows what you just
it
said
does
worked.
Work. Yes.
We know it works.
Yeah.
There's no mystery there.
Yeah.
We know it works. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
The book's called The Respectful Leader. It doesn't come out yet till August. So when we, but is there a website people can go?
Yes, they can go to either Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. They can pre-order the book. It's now available for pre-order.
Do you have a website for?
Yes, it's called TheRespectfulLeader.com or RespectfulLeader.com. Either
perfect.
One.
Perfect. And you can learn more there.
Yes.
Greg Ward, local. You're here now in San Diego.
I am. Okay. I am.
Beautiful. Good to have you here, Greg.
Thank you.
Wish you the best of luck with the book. Reach out again in August. We'll do another
chat. Thank you very much.
Appreciate
it.
The Respectful Leader, Greg Ward. Mike Slater Show. Spread the word.